Okay? I'm holding on right here. Okay? All right? If I have no weight, if my legs give out, as long as I got strength in my legs, I can keep my rib cage open. But let me lose the strength in my legs, and what will happen is all the weight will fall on my hands and my arms, which are pinned to the cross. And so eventually, what will happen is that I will suffocate because I can't breathe. Oops. There was a criminal on Jesus' left and a criminal on his right. Do you remember what the Roman soldiers did? They broke their legs. Why? So they would suffocate and the Roman soldiers could go home because they were tired of working. That's what happened. That's what the Scripture says happened. They broke their legs and those two criminals gasped their last breath and they went to Jesus. And He was already dead. And they did not need to break His legs. One of the Roman soldiers said, "Let's make sure. Give me a spear." And speared Him. But His legs were never broken. When the Scripture says, "I can count all my bones," that's what it's talking about. It says, "They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them." What is it talking about? The Roman soldiers cast lots for Jesus' garments. Look at Isaiah 53. When you get there, someone tell me the page number. What? 879. Look at Isaiah 53. Look at actually chapter 52. We'll start in verse 13. Here's what the text says. "Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was more marred than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." When the text says his appearance was marred more than any man, you know what it's talking about? Jesus. I'll tell you how I'll explain this. One of our church members told me last week that they invited someone to come to our Easter pageant, and this is what they did. They said, "You know what? We actually have one of our church members who's playing the part of Jesus, and he's hanging on the cross, and he's been beaten, and he's been whipped, and he looks like he's about to die. He's just from being beaten and whipped." And the man looked at her and said, "Is that absolutely necessary?" Well, was that necessary? Yeah. The 52nd chapter is saying this man is so beaten you can't even recognize him. But was it necessary? You know why it was necessary? Because we have a just God. We have a just God, okay? And a just God does this. He takes the crime and the punishment, and they come together and they match. All right, now think about it. The reason why the beating and the whipping and the humiliation and the mocking and the crucifixion, the gospel tells us that Jesus was whipped 39 times by an entire Roman garrison. Okay, why is that so necessary? Why is it so necessary? Because he's carrying the sins of the world. And we are not a very good people, are we? Take the sins of all humanity and you add them up and tell me if you think what happened to Christ is necessary. That's necessary because God is just. And so what he does is he takes out what is necessary on his very own son. Because he's so perfect, You got to hang with me here. God's perfection and his justice required Christ to be beaten the way he was, because we demanded it through our sins. You understand what I'm saying? The word is called propitiation in the Greek. It's how we transliterate it. God, his wrath is satisfied on his son. Okay, turn with me now to the fourth verse of the 53rd chapter. Here's what it says. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Look at verse 9. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death. A rich man by the name of Nicodemus gave him the tomb. Because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. Who are his offspring? If you have placed your faith in Jesus, what the Scripture says is, and this is a prophecy of what is happening to Christ, what the Scripture is saying is, he will see his offspring. Okay, the resurrection, what does it do? It shows us that the cross was the foreordained plan of a holy, loving God who wanted to cleanse you and I from sin so that he would see us in heaven. To see his offspring. When you and I place our faith in Jesus, we become his child. We become his offspring through our faith. Okay, I'm out of time, so let me summarize the rest of it for you. What that means is this. Jesus' resurrection, it establishes him as an eternal God and Father. He lives forever. That's what Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says. It says that Jesus Christ, he is, and he is forevermore. He is forever. He is eternal. It says Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. You and I are the brethren of the firstborn. That's what Romans 8 says. What that means is Christ conquered death. The resurrection, because Jesus Christ conquered death, because he lives forever, what that means is if you are his offspring, you will also be able to conquer death, and so will all those who you know, who have come before you, who have gone before you, who have died in Christ. Do you realize that because of the resurrection, and only because of the resurrection, when you die and when our loved ones die, we will one day see them again? How many of you know, have a loved one who has died knowing Jesus Christ? Raise your hands. Because of resurrection. You know what? If you have a loved one who has died knowing Jesus, Easter Sunday ought to be the happiest day in your life, because one day you're going to see him. Death is not the end for you. Death is simply a doorway through which you pass to receive eternal life with God through Jesus Christ by your faith. Let's pray. Dear Christ, you said in the 10th chapter of John that we had to come through the door. You said that if anybody came in some way to heaven, that is, anybody tried to come in some way other than through the door, they're like a thief and a robber. Then you said in that 7th verse, I am the door. Then you said in the 11th chapter of John, you said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we place our faith in Jesus, when we die, death is an open doorway to eternity, to a place that restores the relationship between God and man in the way it was in the Garden of Eden. Sin has been conquered. Your word says that because you loved us, you have released us from our sins by your blood. And so when we stand in your presence, going through that resurrection door, we stand in your presence without sin. For your word says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we praise you. We are sons of the resurrection through Jesus. And we are members of one another because of Jesus. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, there are people in this room tonight that came forward just a few nights ago in an Easter pageant and you put a nail in my hand. You may be wondering, well, what now? Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that we are to be baptized. Baptism is a sign of an old life that's laid behind and a new life that is taken up. And that through the blood of Jesus, we're cleansed. The baptismal waters do that. And so if you put your nail in my hand and you're here today, I encourage you to come forward once more that we might baptize you in the weeks to come. And become a part of this church as God leads you to do that. Others that are here this morning, perhaps you've yet to receive Jesus as your Savior. You've yet to experience the resurrected Christ in your heart. You come forward as well, and let me help you with that. However God is leading you this morning, it's our encouragement that you experience His presence today. For He loves us. He's released us from our sins to put us on a course, His course, His will, His purposes. Now, Jesus, you have your way in our lives, and we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand as our musicians lead us in singing, and you